Okay, welcome once again to the Investable Month 6 ETR briefing. And we're presenting the period today, obviously, that covers from the 1st of June to the 30th of June. As the briefing document explains, exchange traded receivables are leases, monetary obligations, or bills issued under contract for assets, goods, and services supplied to investment quality companies, or credit-insured invoices from investment-grade insurers. Basically, what this means is that an ETR is evidence of a debt owing from one company to another. Typically, these tend to be large companies that are household names, and they owe money to smaller, micro to medium-sized suppliers. We call these micro to medium-sized suppliers originators, because they originate the debt obligation transactions that creates the ETR that are traded on the exchange. The ETR is evidence of the larger company's liability to the smaller one, and credit exchange buy these ETR at a nominal discount to their face value. In so doing, when the ETR are settled or paid in full, the difference between the face value that is settled and the discount that it was purchased for creates a margin. And as you all know, it is this margin that creates the yield or return for investors. So credit exchange also provides credit facilities to other types of transactions, such as trade finance, asset finance, trade credit, etc. Essentially, they all work on the same principles, that the traded ETR is a business transaction. The exchange provides liquidity and is paid a commission for it, much in the same way a bank charges interest. Okay, so as the briefing states, at the end of June, Credit Exchange held active RSA of 22.54 million. This is consistent with May's figure. RSA stands for Revolving Sale Agreement. A revolving sale agreement is a document or contract between the micro to medium-sized business or the originator and us in Credit Exchange. The revolving sale agreement is a commitment by the originator to sell a certain value of ETR to the exchange in any given period. Usually this is 1 year. So for example, let's say an originator needs a revolving credit facility of 250,000 in order to run their business. They'll come to us, much like they would or used to go to a bank, and they'll apply for that credit facility. If we agree to offer it to them, offer the 250,000 on a revolving basis, that is, it'll be on a something like a 30-60 or 90-day basis. We'll just, for the purpose of a demonstration, let's say it's every 60 days. So they're agreeing to sell to us 250,000 euros worth of ETR every 60 days, or in other words, 1.5 million worth of ETR every 12 months. So it is this commitment of the 1.5 million ETR annually that's going to be sold to the exchange is documented in their revolving sale agreement, or RSA. As stated, at the end of June, we held 22.54 million of those contracts. Some members in the audience may recall that during May, briefing explained there was a decline in the total value of RSA contracts owned by us. At that time, I explained that this was a combination of several months of trading that compounded in May. As stated, the decline had already turned to a sharp increase when I was giving last month's briefing in June, the May briefing in June. And we're now reporting on June and can confirm that there was a significant positive increase in trading during month six. In fact, week 24 was the largest value of trades in a single week in the history of the exchange and was in excess of 7 million of transactions. At the May briefing, I predicted that almost all COVID-19 related trading issues would be entirely washed out of the system by the end of June. I can now confirm that that prediction was correct. And again, I stated then, and I'm doing so here again, that there may be some surprises in the long tail, of this event that we're all going through at the moment, but we don't expect any events, surprising as they might be, we don't expect them to be significant. Okay, then the briefing goes on to say that there was 22.69 million fully allocated, and this was pretty much down about 4 million on May's figure of 27 million. This is primarily because these several of these trades in the month were short-term transactions specific to personal protection equipment or PPE trades. So not a significant move in the overall context of what we do. What this fully allocated figure means is that at the end of June, the exchange held ETR valued at 22.69 million, or said another way, there was 22 or 23 million of investors' funds in the market on the last day of June. And this is in addition to the RSA of another 22.54. So when you combine the two figures together, you're talking about a figure of circa 45 million. Moving to the next figure, it states that investors redeemed roughly 240,000 euros worth of funds in June. Again, if you recall from May's briefing, there were several large withdrawals of funds by professional investors in March due to COVID, because they needed their funds to shore up losses in other markets. Anyhow, during June, more than half of the withdrawals from March, April flowed back in and were returned to us. For those of you unfamiliar with the distinction, the vast majority of the investors on Credit Exchange are retail investors. They are referred to us by financial advisors or intermediaries like those of you in the audience. Credit Exchange will not take funds from a member of the public without them being properly advised by a recognized investment advisor, like many of you here. There are, however, a few select professional investors that come directly to us without the need for an intermediary, because we have vetted them as such and approved them based on the fact that they have worked in a financial trading entity or business or banking background, for example, in the past. Moving on, the 250,000 redemptions in June would be consistent with pre-COVID trading patterns, so 2018, 2019, first couple months of this year. So in other words, we're already back to business as usual, thankfully. As per previous briefings on the matter, the economic crisis we're currently in has been good for investable ETR investors, which then brings the focus, I guess, to the ETR average duration figure of 134 days on the right of the document there. We call that ETR average duration the credit index, and it's our measure of the average time it takes for an ETR to get settled. In other words, from the day the ETR is issued, the number it takes for the debt to be extinguished or settled. So in March, the credit index hit an all-time high of 117 days. And here we are 3 months later at another all-time high of 134 days. So if you compare this to May 2019, when the credit index was 85 days, and therefore settlements were happening roughly five times a year, at 134 days, it means that ETR are only settling roughly 2.5 to 3 times a year. So that's a significant strain on an originator's cash flow. Put in simple terms, an originator last year that needed a facility of 100,000 euro to run their business now needs a facility of somewhere between 160,000-170,000 this year. It doesn't look like it's going to improve much either. So that being the case, if an originator needs more finance, then the exchange needs more investor funds, and investors' yields should improve. So the maths or logic would tell you. To repeat what I've been saying since the start of the year, our January forecast showed an expected strong growth in the exchange's business to 220. We had a bit of a wobble in April where we were starting to get concerned about our figures, but the strong bounce to the positive in June makes us believe that our forecast for 2020 is still achievable, and we are on target, or certainly in June we were heading in the direction of being on target. As some of you may recall from the briefing back in April, I quoted Jerome Powell, on chairman of the Federal Reserve, from his FOMC briefing in April. From the open question form after the briefing, he predicted this will be the worst than any data we've seen for the economy for a quarter two of 2020, in other words, the end of June. It seems he was right, because this morning I read that the U.S. economy shrank by a record 32.9% in the second quarter of 2020, and the biggest has been the biggest contraction since records began. So, for an economy like the U.S. to shrink by a third, those are just mind-boggling numbers. And I can see that our numbers are going to be similar, if not worse. Anyway, figures related on Thursday morning showed that the U.S. gross domestic product fell by the greatest amount between April 1 and June, also since record began, with the previous biggest drop ever on record being only 10% back in 1958. So... everything is in a spiral downwards. Cuts in consumer buying, goods and services, drops in exports, inventories, cars, investments, spending even by the state and local governments. We reference America for lots of reasons that we all know and know why, but from this data, things are bad out there. But thankfully for us at Credit Exchange, we're trading well and growing significantly. Moving on from our May briefing that we would have held last month, trade was off its norm. We had only traded just under 6 million in May, despite our first strong first quarter. This was our second drop in figures in May, to levels that they were back in 2018. We had to go back actually to 2017 to reach the same numbers for May of this year. So given the Federal Reserve Chairman's comments, we were very thankful that our numbers from June have made a significant rebound to the positive at all. Below the month's trading figure, you'll see in the same period, Treasury performance was at 11.27 million. This means that we spent almost 14.65 million and then collected 11.27. As you know, we monitored this to ensure the balance of funds in versus funds out remained stable and within the control parameters set down by Trade Desk and Treasury. That's a slightly lopsided spread and means we're slightly over cash still for the month. As per last month's briefing, we predicted a repeat of this performance in May, and here we are, just confirming it. Moving to the centre of the document, where we list the 10 largest investable ETR holdings and the top rated holdings. These two lists show what companies or organisations own the exchange the largest amount of money as at 30th of June. And as you can see, the HSE and Huawei continue to hold some of the top slots for the fifth consecutive month. Tzu and Tun Su also remained in the top 10 with repeated appearances of Atreides, Vodafone, CBRE and others. On the right, the highest rated debtors are listed, regardless of the amount of their liability, as none of these were investment grade or have an investment grade rating on 30th of June. It's simply a selection of the most creditworthy. Moving down then to the pie chart below these listings, continues to demonstrate a significant change in the typically well-diversified spread of ETR across the market. 2 months ago, it was heavily lopsided towards health and community, all relating to PPE equipment and such like. Now there's a widespread to almost 40% in wholesale retail. Basically, a vast majority, 60%+ of the companies in this country were not trading for the last couple of months, but we were all sitting at home enjoying ourselves, consuming lots of retail and wholesale goods. So we should probably be all out doing a bit of exercise in the park in the months of June, July, and August. Anyway, you can see that the spread was very heavily in favor of wholesale and retail. We're expecting, if and when we get past the final phase of the lockdown process, that we should see a return back to the normal, evenly spread diversification across the various industry sectors. As I mentioned before, we're migrating the current NACE classification that is the basis upon which this graph was created. It's a little bit complicated in terms of how NACE works. There's 1,000+ categories. It tends to be very granular in nature when we prefer to have a broader outlook. So we'll be switching from NACE categories to our own version, which we're calling credit classification system, where, as opposed to there being 20 or 30 categories for anything to do with mining or quarrying, we'll just have one category called mining. In that regard, we have several, whatchamacallit, quarrying, for example, falls under mining in the world of categorizations. And we have several very interesting projects in the UK, all relating to aggregates, washing of aggregates and supplying of aggregates to the likes of the Cemex, CRH Tarmac, and other household names like that. Moving on, we have, so we're finished with the pie chart, excuse me. Returning to the actual performance of the exchange in June this year versus June 2019, you'll see that trading volumes were up almost 22%. So this, as I said, is a strong pullback to the positive from the low point recorded in April. As I mentioned earlier, the strong first quarter enabled us to achieve on par results of those of 2019, and were heading in a strong direction towards our target. A lot of that was eroded by the March, April, May events, but the results of June have reversed significantly enough that we believe we will hit our budget for 2020. So earlier I spoke about the credit index of 134, and next to that you can see we still have more than 16,000 creditors at the month end of June. As I mentioned in prior investment conference calls, relative to the number of trading companies in Ireland, this is a significant and statistically strong reference point when considering the Irish market. So this credit index is a strong indicator of how credit control and payment cycles are performing in Ireland at any moment in time. And to finish on our performance in June, the largest single trade was over 2.46 million. It's a significant enough trade, not the largest one that we've done. Like the one in May, which was for livestock. This was for personal protection equipment. One of a series of, I think there were seven trades on that. The final transaction occurred last week. So that was the first one, I think. First and second of those transactions occurred in the month of June. So in 2018, in 2018-19, personal protection equipment was not a part of our trading transactions, and now suddenly it's in the order of 13.53%, which is a significant increase from nothing. How sustainable that is, we were talking about it earlier in the week. The office is pretty much divided on it. Half the people here believe that PPE is going to last for 3 years and beyond. The other half of the office, which I sit on, is, nah, we don't believe this is going to last much more than about 12 months. There might be a long tail of supply in the market, but it's not a future for our business. We will obviously continue to support it, but it's not something that's going to build a future business for us. Moving to the trend section of the May briefing, we can see that investors yield or buy price during June was pretty much flat on what it was for May. This was just a continuation of the market stable, has been from March now to June. There's been very, very little movement in that range between one spot 8.5 and one spot 8. So you're talking about less than 5 basis points, 10 basis points at max of a spread over the last 5 months. So solid. The promised increase in the rate from where it ended, one spot 8 to 1%, I have been predicting incorrectly, I might add. I have been predicting that the rate would start to rise by the end of H1. In other words, during the month of July, that we should start to see that rise happening. It has yet to be seen, but we will wait in earnest for the originator market, of which I mentioned more than 60% were in furlough for the last 3 months. We're waiting for those people to come back to work to further improve upon the demand for our product, where we will see, therefore, an improvement on the yield to investors. So basically, the document then finishes as it starts with confirming yet again that there was 22.54 million of RPA available at the end of June.